Welcome to Cannabis Business Minds Podcast with your host, Simone Samaluka-Radzins. Join me where I'll take you inside the ins and outs of this brand new and exciting business called cannabis. Connect with me on Calligia.com and follow us on social media as well. And here's today's show. The cannabis industry is ripe with innovation, and every day we have new investors, strategists, inventors, and professionals entering into the market. We all know that cannabis has been one of the fastest growing industries in America, and it's poised, according to some reports, by 2021 to be a $22 billion industry. And with so many people in the industry, the competitive landscape is also plentiful. And being unique and solving a true problem is the solution to build a really sustainable business. And so you might have the best idea, the best product, the best solution, but you might not have the right marketing or awareness, and then you'll never be able to move forward. And we all know that being an entrepreneur is hard. You've got to balance a ton of things like getting a market, finding funding, building a team, all while getting that massive exposure. And I get the pleasure of working with a ton of entrepreneurs and getting to see a lot of great business ideas and a lot of great business plans. And the one thing that I've noticed with all the entrepreneurs that I've worked with is that they need help, you know, building their network, getting more traction, getting more awareness. And so one thing that I thought I could do was dedicate one episode per month of on Cannabis Business Minds to entrepreneurs, you know, so I could listen and they could share their story to not only me, but to the podcast community. And so on this episode of Cannabis Business Minds, I get the pleasure of speaking with John Hurst of Stinky Bush, based in Oregon. John, he's a veteran that has served our country. And when you hear his story, it is very, very, very heart-touching. And like many veterans, he suffers from PTSD. We all know that there's been studies that have shown that cannabis has helped a lot with PTSD, and we'll hear, you know, specifically how it's helped him. But beyond just being a patient himself, John is building a craft cannabis brand in Oregon with not only the goal of empowering the local and veteran community, but providing safe, clean, and affordable medicine to consumers in Oregon. So without any further ado, sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode of Cannabis Business Minds.
I'll kind of start with my background. I'm a landscape designer, builder by trade before I went to the military. And then I served 6 years and I got out in 1999. I had an injury to my cervical spine and I ended up on opiates for about 12 years with the VA healthcare system, along with a plethora of other medications that had an impact on my life. And after that period of time, I decided that it was time for me to change my life and use cannabis as my vehicle to do so. And I did that. It took me about 9 months. It was the most difficult thing I've ever done. But I did it. So this whole cannabis thing is important to me. I live it every day, and I have friends that struggle with other disabilities from the military that are important to me. So, it's important for me to be in this industry. If there was an industry that was ever made for me, cannabis would be it. I'm a producer. I'm basically starting a movement is what I want to do. I feel like that people of Oregon have been overlooked, that the industry is heading in the wrong direction. There has to be a market share for people like me, Oregonians, that want to be grassroots and give the people what they want, which is something to be proud of as far as the cannabis business goes. So what we're trying to do is grow a craft-grown cannabis that's 100% organic, closed looped, zero runoff, zero impact to the environment. We want to extend that production into the market in a grassroots way through service. And what we're trying to do is connect with our customers on a personal level through service. And what we want them to do is do acts of kindness in the community. And we're going to have a rewards-based system. Everything from Stinky Bush gear to supporting service projects. We're going to call it the Stinky Bush Army of Service. And we're going to reward people that go out into the community and do good deeds. And we're going to change the perception of cannabis. And we're going to provide a vehicle for people that look for opportunity like me that have not had the vehicle to do that. And we're going to help provide that vehicle so that everybody can participate in this industry.
And I think this is the very interesting thing. And then I want to be like, I want to know more about Stinky Bush, why it's called that, and also kind of who your team is and what you're solving. I mean, you're helping a lot of people with craft cannabis, that type of medicine. And I think, you know, a lot of people are, well, hold on, Oregon. Oregon's making so much money in tax revenue. There's so many new businesses. And so could you just talk a little bit about, is that accurate, and why is it hard for entrepreneurs and farmers in particular to be successful?
Well, that's a good point. I think one of the things that people are struggling with is compliance, right? The regulatory issue, right? You have to have planning for that. You have to have contingencies in place to deal with the changing market. Mm-hmm. There's the fact that there's people who are outstanding at growing cannabis, but aren't very good at running a business, or they're so spread out that they don't have a team to back them to be able to make it through these bumps in the road that they're going to experience. And as far as why they're not able to get into them, a lot of times it's money. They don't have the finances. We intend to solve a lot of that problem by offering franchise abilities to people with low buy-in. And we're going to give them opportunity, and when we're going to basically, my goal, I'll talk about one of the things that we want to do, I shouldn't, but we're going to recruit. We're going to go and we're going to find the growers that are in their basements right now growing with primitive peat equipment, and they just are passionate, mm-hmm. and they need the market, and we're going to turn them into rock stars, and we're going to make them, everything that they do and produce will be their work, and they're going to be promoted that way. And it's just one of the ways that we're going to connect with our community. As far as, you know, advice to people that are trying to get on the market or what problem we're solving for the market, I don't know that we're solving a problem necessarily in other than quality. I go to dispensaries and I see what's on the shelves, and I feel like we can do better. I certainly feel like Oregon is unique as a market. We're, according to what I've read statistically, we're about 30% denser per capita in cannabis users. But further than that, the people of Oregon love good cannabis. They want it clean, and they want it what we call dank. They want the best cannabis on the market. And we're starting to see that shift in the market to where people, you know, there's always going to be someone who's a casual user who can pick anything on the shelf and everything's cool. But then there's going to be people like me who are going to look closer and want to know what the cannabinoid ratios are. Why is this a good strain for me? Who grew it? What did they use to grow it? What testing has been done on it? Those kind of things are going to become more and more important. And we're going to meet or exceed any of the kind certified, clean certified. I forget, I apologize, the name of the other lady that's coming onto the market now that's starting to form a community of above the standard testing. And that's what we want. When we had that problem with the testing in Oregon, most of the people that I know and involve myself with really wanted those testing requirements to be in place forever. We wanted those. We wanted to stand out from the rest of the country. The cleanest pot in the market, as far as I know. And so we're proud of that. So what I'm saying is, when you talk about Oregon, you have to take into account the consumer. It's different. They're different people. I don't want to call them hippies or categorize them or anything like that, but these people care about what they're smoking, and we intend to fill that gap.
Yeah.
And so that's our focus, of course.
I also think, you know, from our original call, I think what's so unique about your story is, you know, you mentioned it right at the very beginning of, you know, you served time, you were on opioids, like there's a huge crisis. Like even yesterday, I don't know, did you see some of the news and the crackdown on this finally that's happening? But, you know, cannabis helped you with that. And it's also a lot of the team that you work with, aren't they veterans as well? I mean, like, it seems like you're you are a voice. You're not only helping provide access to those that need it in a clean manner, but you're also providing a solution for, you know, jobs for people.
Yeah, we intend to be a social enterprise in the sense that we will be paying living wages to our employees. It's important to us. I don't see a reason to do this if I can't pay my people well. I want them to be able to do what they need to do. And if they're not at work happy, then they're not, you know, working efficiently. Okay. So, and it's important. Further than that, though, going with what you're talking about, my segue, of course, is the obvious choice for me is to promote and to focus in on what's happening with the veterans of our country. It's ridiculous. We're losing 20 some veterans a day. One of my friends is one of those numbers. And so it's important to me and I live it. But there's a bigger need. And I'm going to call things out in our merchandising. I'm putting together artwork and advertising that is going to have a social message to it. And it's going to call out the things that are happening that are anti-marijuana, and we're going to promote the positive things. But further than that, people just want to have a voice. One of the perfect examples that I would give you what I'm trying to do here is Uber. Uber, one of the things that they're successful, I see them being successful for, is because they put the marketing into the hands of the people and they ran with it. It just spread like wildfire, right? And it's because when you give people an opportunity like that, that normally would not have an opportunity, they're going to run with it and they're going to support you. And I think that's our way of insulating ourselves against the coming bumps in the roads that we're going to see as the market, you know, grows and as the market expands and as we sort of go through our growing pains like California is going to go through now. You know, there's important social issues that need to be called out, and we intend to do that. And we intend to show people that cannabis users come from all trades, from all walks of life, and we intend to market ourselves at all price points. Our customers, whether they can afford $5 or they can afford an ounce or they can afford whatever, they're going to be able to go into a dispensary and call out our name by name, grower by name, and they're going to be able to pay for their cannabis and go home and enjoy it, whether it's $5 or $100. It doesn't matter. We're going to be able to offer products to every price point and everyone and make it so that this is going to become an Oregonian movement. And that's what we're going to do. Growing is our focus, right? But for me, on a personal level, it's people.
Oh, yeah. I think that, you know, sometimes as leaders, we forget that. You know, we're focused on numbers, we're focused on pitching, we're focused on revenue, and we're focused on net income and where can we reduce these expenses. But in the end of it, I think anybody in this industry, you know, that's been in it for a while, they realize the social injustice, they realize the benefit of the plant, they realize, you know, and if they don't, they need to remember to realize that it is about the people. Because in the end, if you even take it back to that business standpoint, if you can't connect with the people, your customers,
right,
your clients, then you don't have a sustainable business. You can shove as much money in marketing as you want for a while, but if you, you know, but after a while, that's all you can do and you will lose people. And I think that a lot of times businesses and business owners forget about that.
Yeah. And, you know, I think you hit it right on the head. I think that's one component in the industry right now that's missing. We're leaving these people behind for no reason. This is our program. This is Oregonian voted in, and it's our program. And we want to protect that. And, you know, it's really unfortunate. For me, well, you know, in all honesty, if I can't generate revenue, right, if I can't focus on growing, which is what makes our, you know, revenue, right, if I can't make money, then I can't come from a position of power to help anybody. Mm-hmm. You know, it's an obvious thing. The company that I'm putting in place is a company whose base goal is to help. That's it. You know, we want to make our money and we want to obviously produce as much cannabis as possible with the highest quality and all those things. But our marketing strategies, I think where we're going to make it, like you're talking about,
yeah.
we are and strategy and the way that we're going forward, we're going to be able to connect to each and every one of our customers on a personal level in ways that are not being used right now.
Yeah.
And I think it's important. I think that they need to know that John at Stinky Bush loves you and they love me. And so when we go to the Cannabis Cup and I challenge Snoop Dogg to a face-off, they're going to be, right? And so when, you know, I accept that corporations and large grows are part of the market. I accept that. You have to adapt and you have to make your own corner. And I'm going to do that. I'm going to make my own corner with the best, cleanest cannabis that's produced. And I'll put it up against anybody else's anytime, any place. And that's where we're going to be. We're going to be at the forefront. You asked me about my logo.
Yes. My Stinky. Can you show the logo and then also the name? I mean, I think I know Stinky Bush, but there's always a hidden meaning behind the artist.
Oh, I printed this out for you so everybody can see it. There's our logo. I didn't print out my, I want to keep it secret, but that's it. And I'll give you the history behind the name.
Yep.
So during my opioid induced comatose, I spent a lot of time watching TV, right? And I like reality shows. And one of the reality shows that came on was, I believe it was a reality show. It was either a reality show or a movie, but it was about cannabis growers that were on the East Coast, somewhere in Kentucky or Virginia or something. All guerrilla growers. And so I was like, yeah, I like this. Let's watch this. Well, they referred to cannabis as Sticky Bush, right? And I thought, that's a really cool name, Sticky Bush. But I don't want to take over somebody's name, right? To me, it made more sense that it would be Stinky Bush. It's stinky. It's a stinky bush. Stinky Bush. That sounds cool. So, yeah, it's a good name. I love
it.
My nephew did that.
Why the devil's lettuce? Why the devil's lettuce? Because I love it. It says Willamette.
Okay, that's from my child. I don't know if it's Willamette, but I think a lot of people call it devil's lettuce, but it's something from my childhood. You know, you're going to find that in my advertising, there's a lot of symbolism. There's a lot of throwbacks to my day of Saturday morning cartoons and all the cool stuff and, you know, Fat Albert and all those things. And this, you know, I grew up in the 70s and 80s, so people come out. One of the biggest markets that's growing in the cannabis industry, surprisingly, is the, you know, 65 and older. You know, pain is a powerful negotiator. And a lot of my mentors are experiencing their end of life health issues. And, you know, being able to offer someone a topical potion that prevents them from having to have hip replacement is an amazing gift. You know, so you know, I'm so proud to be part of the industry, and I know we're going to kill it. And, you know, I so look forward to meeting the people that I'm going to meet along the way and that we're going to help.
Yeah. So. Okay. So just because I work with a lot of investors, and again, the whole point is, you know, we connected because we were doing a pitch and I know you're building out this company. And so we talked about your story. We talked about how you make money. We talked about why you're solving a really big problem. You know, somebody's like, well, why should we work with you? You know, what is your, you know, wow factor that makes you an entrepreneur? Not only clearly, I already can tell, but I don't want to put words in your mouth. Why? You know, like just, it's like John from, you know, Stinky Bush from Oregon, who's like working not only to a lot of people, but what makes you that wow factor that somebody's like, yeah, I got to talk with him. I know that that's somebody and a team that I want to work with, invest in, time, money, whatnot.
All right. If I start bawling, it's your fault.
Oh no.
All right. So this is, and I've gotten better at talking through my tears. So here goes. This is important to me, if for no other reason, to show my children that their father can achieve something. This is the last step in my rehabilitation that I've done by myself, for myself. And what can I contribute to the market? Well, I can contribute some of the best cannabis that's ever been grown on the West Coast or anywhere. And I stand behind that statement, and I'll put my, you know, why am I, what's the wow factor? I think, you know, my background is very strong. I've owned businesses before. I've had leadership positions. I've led people in dangerous situations. I have a team behind me that's amazing, from politicians and cannabis or industry leaders to journalists, writers, to successful business people that I use as mentors, and I appreciate. So I don't know. The wow factor, I guess, is that I'm the real deal. My story is true. My heart is in the right place. And I've got a killer logo. I've got a killer mission. I've got people that need help. And I'm a good dude. And I'm going to stand out in the industry as someone who sets the standard, period. I won't do it any other way. I don't see any reason to be in the industry if we're just going to grow average weed and do average stuff. No, we're going to be someone that is on the lips of everybody. And when they go into the cannabis cafes of the future, we're going to be top shelf on call. Yeah. Stinky Bush, please. Grown by John Hurst. Straight up.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, so, I support you 100%. And I think that I'm clearly putting this on the podcast distribution, on the Facebook groups and all that stuff. And, you know, people might be like listening, well, okay, how do I contact this Mr. John Hurst? How do we contact you? Besides on Calogia.
Okay. You can call me on my cell. I'm welcome to take calls, but I think it's smarter to give them emails and filter through that way, because I feel like I get a lot of calls.
Yeah.
Right? So please email me. Say that again. No, I don't. No, no website yet. We're not up on that.
Okay.
Say that again.
No.
I need him to. Yeah. So email me at johnhurst18@gmail.com. And it's JONHURST, the number 18@gmail.com. You can also email me at stinkybushfarms@outlook.com.
All right. All right. Well, John, thank you so much for...
Once we... Yeah.
Yes. I mean, and just...
Come on. I love you.
Thank you. And I honestly hope that this works. This is, you know, we connected, just for everybody who's listening, like, we connected several times via email, and then randomly got on a conversation because of the program, that 8-week training program. And then I was like, everyone needs to hear your story, because I think that we need to provide a better platform, just as you mentioned, for entrepreneurs and people that are starting up that might not have the access to the capital, that might not have the opportunity to pitch in front of a team of investors. You know, knowledge is power. And if I can provide that platform, and I hope, I mean, people listening, like, connect with John, because I hope that this works. I mean, I've seen it. There's a lot of people I've had on the podcast that have gotten clients. There's people that have come to events because they've heard it on the podcast. So I really hope that this can, you know, elevate you and get you to where you need to be, because I support people that are doing the right thing and that are helping beyond themselves and their profit. They're helping the people, the planet, and you're solving a way bigger issue than just getting dollars in the bank if you can get a bank account. You're solving a huge thing. So thank you.
Well, I appreciate the platform, and what you're doing is amazing, and you have my 100% support, and that's what we want to be. We want to be a mentor to anybody who needs it.
All right. Thank you for listening to another episode of Cannabis Business Minds. I'm your podcast host, Simone Simaluka-Radzin, CEO of Calogia. And if you're an entrepreneur and you'd like to be considered to be on Cannabis Business Minds, shoot me an email at podcast@calogia with your story and the history behind your company. And thank you again for listening. And I would like to tell you guys all that if you are entrepreneurs or if you are business owners, I have a very, very exciting thing to tell you. I am starting my online incubator, and I'm accepting attendees, and the class starts January of 2018. a 3-month training program geared to helping you build a streamlined and profitable business. You can find more on Calligia.com. All right, have a great day, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to today's show. This is your host, Simone Simaluka-Radzins of Calligia.com. I hope that you find this episode entertaining and insightful. My goal is to educate all of you about this exciting business because knowledge is power. If you haven't already, head on over to Calligia.com to connect with me and to meet other business leaders in the professional cannabis community. Also, if you like this, please go into iTunes and leave the Cannabis Business Minds podcast a 5-star review. See you next episode.